Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guests for the show are supposed to have been Anthony Curtis, publisher of Huntington Press and Las Vegas Advisor, and Jeffrey Compton, publisher of CDCGamingReports.com. However, Jeffrey refused to come on unless he was given top billing. So, since Richard and I are inexperienced in dealing with prima donnas, we caved immediately. So, Gambling with an Edge is proud to have as our guest Jeffrey Compton and Anthony Curtis, if Anthony ever gets here.
He just texted me saying, is it today?
Yeah. All right. Good. Gentlemen, welcome to Gambling. Well, gentlemen, welcome to Gambling with an Edge. So, before we get into our roundtable discussion, we had some email. Address to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. A blackjack player was playing heads up on a 3-2 game in Las Vegas. After a while, two other players joined him, one on each side. A few hands later, when all three players had a bet in the appropriate space, the dealer skipped our hero and gave the next guy an ace. That's my ace, the player spoke up immediately, at least according to the email. Had the dealer reconstructed the hands, the player would have received a blackjack. Instead, he ended up with a hard 15 against the dealer 10. He requested the dealer reconstruct the hands, but the best he got was his money refunded before any cards were played. He wants to know what his rights were, if any. Could he have successfully demanded he be paid for a blackjack, Richard?
You get nothing and like it. I mean, many of the Vegas casinos will tell you their policy is that they will not back up a card. So once a card has gone past you, they won't back it up. And that turned out to be the case here. I mean, the guy was told that they wouldn't back it up, and they did give him his bet back, which, you know, is what a lot of places will do. Wait a minute. How did they give him the 15 if they had already passed him with the ace? They gave him two extra.
That wasn't clear in the email.
Yeah. Anyway, but they ended up giving him a push, apparently, on the 15 that busted. So that's about the best you can hope for, at least in Las Vegas. And in an Indian casino, you're completely on your own. You know, they can do anything they want there, basically. So, yeah, unfortunately, you're out of luck.
All right. There's an article recently about Dan Blitzerian, who bet somebody $600,000 that he could ride a bicycle from his home near Los Angeles all 273 miles to Las Vegas, which is over a pretty good mountain, in 24 hours.
No, 48 hours.
48 hours, was it? Oh, you got it easy. All right, now, this is the latest of many outrageous bets that poker players seem to make all the time. Do you think I'll make it, Richard?
I don't know. I mean, he's claiming he may die, which, you know, but it seems like he's training really hard, and I guess he got Lance Armstrong to help him train, so.
Juice and all?
Right, yeah. It would not surprise me if he's taking steroids. I mean, he's already ripped, so.
Yeah, this is a guy who is quite ripped, goes around driving Ferraris and with photographed with Playmates of the Year on each arm. And
do they allow bicycle riding from here? What I'm trying to say is,
on the freeway?
No. Do you remember Hands Across America about 30 years ago, where they did a human line of people like this? They were not allowed to do it between Arizona and California because of the desert. Okay. So what I'm saying is, do they allow bicycle riding
Yeah, they do. I had two friends who set out to ride across the country, and basically they were coming through Las Vegas from Santa Monica. So,
okay.
Could they go on the 15? That's a freeway.
No, they weren't on the 15.
On the side road.
Well, there's not a parallel road on overall that, is there? Maybe they're going down 40?
I don't remember the route they took. They were on Route 66 for at least part of it.
Well,
that'll take you to Barstow.
South of here, yes.
Well, yeah. Santa Monica Freeway is Route 66, right where they started. So,
yeah.
All right. Now, Anthony, you're in pretty good shape. Have you ever made any of these outrageous physical bets that you can share on the air?
I've gotten close.
Yeah.
When I was ripped in a different way.
You sobered up the next day?
Yeah. The one that comes to mind for me was we were playing in a blackjack tournament in Laughlin. And I was playing with a group of guys, a team. And we were having dinner that night, and everybody was drinking because we were doing well. We were actually in conflict with the casino. They weren't happy that all of these friends had come together, if you know what I mean. And so we had a really good day. They'd made some moves to try to get us to knock us out, and we had knocked them out. So we had a lot of wine, and we had a beautiful overlook of the Colorado River. And someone bet me that I couldn't swim across that river. It looked really calm.
Yeah, and it does go
well. Actually, with a wetsuit, you might have been able to, right?
And I wanted to do it. I really wanted to do it, and I was going to take the wager, and cooler heads prevailed. Friends of mine who weren't so ripped grabbed me and said, "Don't you dare." And I went out and looked at it the next morning, and man, that sucker moves past.
Well, so, it's also, what, like 50-something degrees, that water?
I guess it's cold, but it was in the middle of summer, so it was
still
cold.
Laughlin,
it was 117 degrees.
So the water doesn't change.
It was 117 degrees in Laughlin, and I wanted to try it. It's kind of narrow between, you know, that area right across Laughlin. It's pretty narrow. And I thought I could do it, but when I looked in the morning, I was like, what a dummy. You know, I mean, I'm glad I didn't do it.
All right. You got any stories like that, Jeffrey, quick?
Years ago, I was going to dinner in a steakhouse in a casino in north of Las Vegas.
Probably a Mexican restaurant.
Yes. No, it was not a Mexican restaurant. But the casino was Mexican-themed and had the word piñata painted on the side of the casino. And the person I was with, Scotch Henderson, speaks fluent Spanish. And he says, the word's misspelled. So the owner of the casino was sitting in the steakhouse. So I walked in and I said, it's misspelled outside. He goes, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. And I says, okay, if it isn't misspelled, it was a steakhouse that had the swing deal where girls would get on the swing and then try to hit with their feet the ceiling. So we bet that if it was misspelled, he would get on the swing and try to do it. And if it wasn't misspelled, I would get on the swing and do it.
But as far as you were concerned, you had a lock on that bet.
Yeah,
I had a lock
on that bet.
That's not the same thing as jumping in the river. Let's move on. All right.
He did manage to touch the ceiling with his feet.
Good. Last week, Nevada Gaming Commission approved the real estate company, MGM Growth Properties, to buy and own several, but not all, MGM Mirage properties. As a player, I think this is pretty cool. If you're trespassed at Mandalay Bay Casino, for example, once it becomes owned by MGM Growth Properties, you're no longer 86 because 86ing is an owner-specific activity. I'm pretty sure I'm paraphrasing Bob Nersessian correctly on this. And I'm also pretty sure that if this situation arises for any of our listeners, Nersessian will not be interested in handling your case.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what they do, right? I mean, but the bottom line is, just because it means you're not 86 doesn't mean you can't get arrested. I mean, they may arrest you and then sort it out later.
But false
it just
arrest,
means that the charge would not stick, right?
And false arrest, especially if some of their security guards get a bit rambunctious, that can be worth something these days.
Yeah, if you're willing to, if that's what your object is. I mean, if you want to go in there and provoke people. You know, when I was playing and I was told not to be at a place, I assume they meant it, and I didn't ever try to go back in. I always figured there were plenty of other places. Now, I wasn't, you know, everyone out there who will get mad at me, I call it ambulance chasing. You know, I wasn't ambulance chasing. I wasn't trying to get in trouble. I just wanted to stay out of trouble. So when somebody told me to leave, even if there was a loophole, I never went back.
Oh, I would. I mean, I would give it a good amount of time. You know what I mean? But eventually I would go back, not to try to provoke something, but to actually just try to play. Yeah.
The I ran this past casino that recently changed hands on ownership about 5-6 years ago. And they had a long 86 list on top of the on their list. And they told me they were made aware of this, but they did not have a case where somebody actually tried it. They did make aware of it. They did circulate a memo that the old list isn't valid. So don't overreact.
They would just re-86 you, right? If
yeah.
they saw you and say, they would say, excuse me, you're now 86 from here. You've heard this before. Here it is again.
Yeah.
Was I on that list? Never mind. Second.
You're on a worse one.
Atlantic City has had a rough couple of years. In 3 weeks, we'll have on this show UNLV gaming historian David Schwartz about his new book on Atlantic City called Boardwalk Playground. Anyway, today, the city might have to lay off employees soon, and the entire state of Nevada is going to vote in November about allowing new casinos in the northern part of the state, presumably to siphon off money from the residents of New York City. If this passes, should we put a fork in Atlantic City?
I think they're going to have to do something to reinvent themselves. They're going to have something in Atlantic City besides gambling, whether they can, you know, beef up the convention aspect of it or something else.
But. Or the destination. Because they fell into the easy money of the buses, bringing in the people, I don't know if I would say you put a fork on it, but considering we ran a story this morning where the mayor of Atlantic City said that if those casinos are established in Northern, it will do nothing but increase crime in that region of New Jersey, to which they got an a very quick rebuke from the American Gaming Association. So obviously they think there could be a serious problem if they pass. I remember I used to live in New York City. Getting back and forth to Atlantic City has always been an issue. It's 2.5 hours by truck. And so a lot of it will depend on the location. I mean, if we're talking the Meadowlands or Jersey City, yeah, if it's in Newark, that could be a different story. So
what's Atlantic City? What is it?
He's already put a fork in it. Okay. Now,
Steve Wynn left. It was
back in Vegas. Three Caesars Entertainment properties have introduced self-check-in kiosk, with the rest of Caesars Vegas property expected to follow suit by the end of the summer. This is good, and might be a pretty good answer to the MGM's decision to pay for parking. Yes, this is good for players?
I love the idea. I mean, I used to hate trying to check into Harris property, especially once they instituted the fee for early check-in, you know, which was before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They would charge you a fee for checking in too early. And so there'd be long lines, you know, to check
in. Was the room available when you paid the fee?
Yeah, there would be a room.
There would be a room. I mean, it's not that you checked in and they said come back in 3 hours and your room.
No. You could check in, but the room. Yeah. But you would have to pay a fee. But okay. But because of that, they would end up with these long lines at 3 o'clock of the people. So anyway, yeah, I think it's great that they have the kiosk. I'm not sure what that has to do with the parking at the MGM though.
Well, if they advertise,
I couldn't figure that out either.
Well, they advertise. You have two choices. You can go to one casino where you pay for parking and wait 2 hours to check in, or the other place where you get free parking and you
so
can get
far.
Checked in 15 minutes. Which sounds more interesting to you?
I don't think it'll even be close. I think that the pay for parking thing is going to hurt them a lot. And I think that people will see that as a direct affront, and that they can do all these little givebacks they want. But I think the paying for parking is going to be the last straw for a lot of customers.
Yeah, I had a friend actually who was staying at the Gold Coast the other day and saying, you know, they have a $19 resort fee. and
$18 room or something like that.
No, I mean it's more than that. But the resort fee, they say it's one of the things they list that the resort fee is for parking.
Yeah.
And you know, he said, I mean, he was on a comp, but he said, you know, if I was paying for this room, I would be pissed off about this $19 resort fee for parking and. Parking and internet and, you know, all the stuff. That's
well, the resort fee was the first. I mean, the resort fee took people, a lot of people, right to the edge. Resort fee and parking fee on top of it is really going to be the last straw.
Yeah. By the way, there was an article within the last week that I saw about, it was one of those sort of insider where to park, how to park in Las Vegas. Sounds. Yeah, that's right. It was in Jeffrey's periodical.
It was Castellamitas, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one. But one of the things that I thought was interesting that I didn't know, I learned something from the article, was so as a local, you can get on the monorail for a dollar. And so he was suggesting that if there's a big event at the MGM.
Park at the SLS.
Park at the SLS and go for a dollar on the monorail, which.
Mm-hmm. You know, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
If you ever sat and observed a check-in, or if you ever talked to somebody who runs a check-in thing, they will tell you that 20% of the guests take up 80% of the time. In other words, 80% of the guests are no problem. But there's that 20% that frequently, if they were booked by an outside agency, okay, or they're insisting on a comp arrangement that has nobody has ever heard of, or whatever. So the object of these things is to get that easy 80% to their room and out of the line.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll spend our time on the 20%. Now, I don't know how good the Caesars check-in system is right now. No computer can make up for a bad, you know, computerization doesn't work if the system is manually bad. You just speed up the mess. And so
compound the mess.
Compound the mess. The other thing I was concerned about when I read this is one factor, like players clubs, if you've noticed, are a lot more kiosk based. You know, go to the kiosk for this, go to the kiosk for that. The only thing, you know, there's very limited things that you can go to the booth that you should go to the booth for, primarily things where you have to show ID. Okay. And but it's another area we're taking away human face contact, you know, and we're replacing people with machines. So, and I don't know if that in the long run is a good thing.
I think people are going to like it. I mean, I think this is something people are going to go for. I just don't think it's going to make up for the other things they're doing that are, you know, making them mad.
But it's the other thing, Caesars, the parking is MGM and the kiosk are Caesars. So it's different properties here.
Mm-hmm.
So you were saying...
I see what you're saying. I think.
By the way, that comment about the kiosks and having to go to the booth to show ID, I mean, there's no reason why the kiosks couldn't scan your ID as well, you know?
Yeah, true, but they haven't updated the... You know, they haven't gotten to that point yet. But the...
They'll have to do it for check-in.
Yeah.
They'll have to scan your ID for check-in.
Anthony, in your opinion, how strong is... You know, there's many reasons people pick a casino. Of course, the listeners of this show tend to pick it based on the games. But how many people, particularly out-of-town tourists, based on the people they know at the casino or the people, their judgment of the staff?
Yeah, that's a huge thing.
And so if there's less staff face-to-face contact with that staff, that arrangement sort of
I think
lost.
It's a big thing. I don't think it's necessarily the staff. I think it's familiarity with that casino, with the way they do things, with their programs, knowing which places you want to eat. So now when they do that, that plays into it. That's phase two. They see a waitress they've seen before. They see people at the front desk they know. And that all plays into a part of it. But I don't think that's necessarily A1. That's kind of like A2, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. But, I mean, I think it is a factor that eliminating – taking more and more steps to eliminate
But they're not eliminating it. If you want to check in with a human, you can do that. They're not eliminating the front desk.
Oh, no, of course it's not. But what I'm saying is a well-run-in check-in with a human, in my opinion, beats a kiosk. Okay? And I might go to the kiosk, but there's some human
if
context.
You're a VIP, yeah. But if you have to stand in line for 45 minutes or an hour.
I agree with you if it's a bad system.
Well, think about this new millennial, you know, customer as well. I'm sure they'd all rather go to a kiosk. They don't want to talk to people. They
want
to
do machines. They'd rather check in on their phone on the drive-in.
Yeah,
right?
So I mean, that's got to be good when looking toward that, for some reason, coveted demographic. You know, I don't know why they really want these millennials per se yet, but that's going to lead to good things there as well.
All right, let's move on to something else. In the Vegas is changing category, we seem to be dialing back on Elvis, and we're trying to dial back in on marriages as a wedding destination. I personally have done my part in that area.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
Glad you didn't. All right, so dialing back on Elvis, is this...
Yeah, I mean, you know... How old would Elvis be if he was alive?
He died 39 years ago. Before he died, it had been like 10 years before he had a hit record.
But he was big at the International just before he went. He had reinvented himself.
You're right, he was big.
Right. No, but when he was big there 40 years ago, right? I mean the move to Britney Spears, J-Lo, you know, yeah, I mean,
I remember record store owners when he died telling me how he had gone from no sales to top sales. Okay, we make jokes about it now about the best thing you can do for your career is die, but that's primarily based on Elvis Presley.
Well, yeah, Michael Jackson too. His value.
Michael Jackson,
way up,
yeah, that was years later. But
yeah, I'm just always amazed that they're still sort of doing the Rat Pack thing here. I mean. You know, that was my parents'
generation.
Well, the Rat
Pack happened at the Sands. You know, it was based around the original Ocean's 11 movie.
I know, but again, that was, you know, 50 years ago or whatever.
I think when you've got 70-some casinos, you know, in one market, and that's how many we have here when you count them all, fighting against one another to bring in a certain customer, I think they start looking everywhere. And I think that's where people go, well, let's go back for nostalgia, you know. It's not working, you know, let's go this direction, let's go that direction. And that's why you see the ins and outs of single deck blackjack, and you'll see it come back at another place. And then all of a sudden, you know, there is a place in town dealing dollar blackjack every day. You know, that's the old Speedway, which is now the Lucky Club out in North Las Vegas. They cycle around and they look for things, and Elvis is in the rotation.
And you
but also, I mean, nostalgia now is, you know, Fleetwood Mac, not the Rat Pack.
And also, you could fill the new MGM Stadium with bad imitators of Elvis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a street, you know, a road way too well traveled, you know. Now, on the marriage, the marriage issue. This is probably a theory that is probably so off the wall, okay? But marriages started to drop off. The top year was 2004, and then you saw marriages drop off. That was about the same time Nevada passed two constitutional amendments clarifying that marriage had to be between a man and a woman. And I think by the city politicizing that issue did not help the marriage business. It didn't, you know, because people would say, well, you know, I can't, you know, I'll offend my friend if I go there or something like that. So I think that did not, I think the delay in the city being able to handle gay, same-sex marriages is one thing that sort of hurt the entire marriage issue.
Is that spurring the sort of them wanting to promote them again?
What's spurring them is just the business is 40% down in 10 years, and they have to figure out something to do with this.
And what are they doing? They're just trying to promote Vegas as a place to get married again?
Yeah. It was a huge industry. Behind the gaming industry, it was like second or third for a long, long time. The marriage industry was really big. And they're trying to bring it back.
Even earlier, the divorce industry was
the
really
divorce
good.
Industry, yeah. Though it was bigger in Reno than it was here.
Yeah.
But you remember, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, if you wanted to get a divorce in New York, you had to show the judge pictures of your wife in bed with another man.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to do that anymore. Divorce. It's much simpler to get a divorce. It's much simpler to get married in every other state. I think if they do a new marketing effort, particularly stressing convenience, it is convenient to get married here. You can do it all in one trip. Variety. You can, you know, do it any way you want. You can get married in the pool. You can get married in the sauna. You can get married on the thing that spins. You know.
Yeah. They have drive-through marriage.
Yeah, drive-through, and also. Pretty, you can get a good deal here for You would know more about this than I would, Bob, but you can get married here fairly cheaply. And
I get all my marriages comped. Let's move on.
The weddings you get comped. The marriages weren't comped.
By the way, this is a little bit off topic, but I saw...
Good, I'd like to get off this topic.
I saw a billboard the other day that really struck me, and it was for the Artisan Hotel, which is right there by the freeway and the 15.
That's a gay hotel.
Yes, it is. Yeah. They cater. You're bringing up the gay marriage. Sort of.
It's been for years.
Well, the other one is. I don't know the artisan position.
I think artisan position. I might have it confused with the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, the one over by the Hard Rock. I forget.
No. This one was Is this one by Stations?
Yeah. Palace it's right Station. By Palace Station.
Yeah, it's been marketing gay.
But anyway, the billboard said you can rent the entire hotel starting at $7,500. And I thought, man, that is a brilliant idea. I mean, how cool would that be to whatever your event or whatever to be able to just rent an entire hotel?
They've actually been doing that for a few years, and I know they've had some takers. And we've done some book events there. It's a really cool place. I mean, if you wanted to do something really neat and take that place over, I mean, it's like going into like a night at the museum. You know, remember that movie?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's like. It's just all this artifacts and things. And they got a cool little bar, and they got a nice little restaurant, and it's not that expensive. No,
if you were having a big wedding, spend $7,500 and put everybody up in one place, and
they're putting video poker in the bar. Did you hear that?
I just hard to imagine that it's a place I'm going to frequent.
One thing you will see a decrease of is what I'm saying is hotels that were marketing exclusively to gay couples are getting away from that because. It's, for example, the main bar that is closing in New York City is the gay bar because there's no reason for them anymore. People can go hold hands in any bar and not get in any trouble.
Let's start a Trump rally. Okay. now, the monorail in Las Vegas hasn't been a particularly rousing success, and yet we're still talking about adding more light rail to Greater Las Vegas.
They're going to get my dollar soon.
Yeah, perhaps similar to the way they do it in Denver. Is this going to work?
Well, you're talking about two different animals, Bob, okay? The monorail, for better or for worse, was designed for tourists. Also, the monorail is one of the most expensive forms of light rail, as opposed to what our grandparents used to call the streetcar. Mm-hmm. So the light rail system they're looking at would be directed at locals, especially locals that are trying to come back and forth to the Strip or back because they work there, back and forth to the Strip or back and forth to downtown. The monorail maybe has never took off, but the bus system in this town is thriving. And I've been amazed how many changes it made in the 10 years I was absent. I'm amazed how many changes it's made since I moved back 6 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, more public transportation is good as far as I'm concerned, you know, mo better. Yeah.
I mean, anytime I go to anywhere, if I go to San Francisco or New York, I'm on public transit like that. I'm on there in London, the Tube, and, you know, the underground, what do they call it, the BART in San Francisco, and I'm on them. So, I mean, the traffic around here is just horrible. You know, I mean, I left
LA. Well, relatively speaking, it's not bad, but yeah. It's
getting pretty bad.
The locals who've been here 20 years ago, yes. Compared to people who live in Los Angeles, this isn't bad at all.
Yeah, but we're as bad as we were back then 20 years ago in L.A. You know, I mean, it's getting pretty bad. Anything that they do along these lines would be great, but the capital investment is huge.
Yeah,
so.
I'm thinking, yeah, it'd be good, the end result, but is it cost-effective to do it?
Yeah, I don't know. That.
You know. One thing I think you should tell people is I noticed that now buses run 24 hours here.
Mm-hmm. On some routes.
And some routes. Two friends and I got loaded on the Strip, and we looked on a thing and found it was very easy to get back to my apartment on a bus. So, you know, it was good to have that.
If you could figure out the bus schedule, you weren't that loaded. But okay.
There's an app for that.
There's an app for that. Good. You have to have it already loaded before you need it. Now, we're down to the Sweet 16 in the March Madness. Basically, nobody still has a potentially perfect bracket. So, but for those of our listeners who have regular jobs, the March Madness office pool is illegal and ubiquitous.
Is this a no harm, no foul kind of a crime? Is this ever enforced?
Is it illegal? If they're if all the money is being given back, this is everybody keeps debating this. We keep
varies from state to state.
Yeah, I think in Vegas, I think in Nevada, I don't think it is illegal if all the money is being given back.
There's no house cut,
right? Nah, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what. No harm, no foul, absolutely. I mean,
nobody's who cares if it's illegal? Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to not do it.
What the local authorities are concerned about, first, they assume an office pool is pretty low stakes because no employer is going to allow under his roof a game where people are losing serious money because that translates back to problems for the business, you know. And so that's the last thing you need. And so when I ran a company with about 100 employees, there was office pools for the Super Bowl, and we permitted it, okay? the other thing, and because it was like $3 or $5 or some ridiculous figure, the other thing is some states patrol that they cannot happen in bars, okay, with a liquor license. Even if, now what some bars will do, will have the customers run the pool. And the customers take control of the money. And you cannot allow, that's legal in some states, that's illegal in most states. But no, very times can a bar sponsor a pool. The other thing is size of the pool. I mean, if it's a couple of dozen people, that's fine. If it's 800, that's a different story. So, but it depends on how much you wagered and everything. But generally, they don't go after office pools.
If the point of this question is, are people going to get in trouble for participating? Because I've seen that a few times where people go, I would like to do that, but I don't want to break the law and I don't want to take a chance. I think your chances are virtually nil of ever getting in trouble for participating in something like this.
There is one way you can get in trouble.
Oh, there's a lot of ways you can get in trouble.
Yeah, there is one way you can get in trouble. You won the big pot and you did not report it on your taxes. And an employee, a fellow employee or a fellow participant turns you in. That happened to a family member of mine.
Wow.
Or you win the big pot and you have a few beers and you walk out not paying attention when people know you've won the big pot. I'm telling you. You know, I mean, this is something in Vegas and everywhere that people don't pay enough attention. They're walking around with cash on them. And that, a lot of people have credit cards now, so they don't worry. But in a cash situation like that, you have to be very, very careful.
And actually, last time Jeffrey was on, we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about, whether the fact that the president was joking about this. You remember that?
Well, the president even had a thing. He picked a bracket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, right. You know.
He's not doing very well, by the way.
Yeah.
In the bracket.
Oh. So, you know, the AGA has made a large, and they spent, we'll run the article tomorrow, where they spent quite a bit of time discussing how they reached their figures of an amount of illegal gaming in the United States, and illegal gambling. But they have mentioned, you know, the number of people who participate in these things is astronomical.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Massachusetts. The Wynn Casino. Maybe going to be called Wynn Boston Harbor. That saga continues. Will this end well for Steve Wynn?
The expert in that neck of the woods, Jeff.
He's gotten rid of the Boston
lawsuits. Rid of Boston, so Somerville raised their hand and went, me too. Okay. Somerville is, unlike Everett, okay, Everett is poor. Okay, and Everett has the pond that he's cleaning up. Somerville is a pretty upscale suburb of Boston. They border Cambridge, and so they have a lot of academia living there. And they just didn't expect that suddenly they would try to get in on the deal. And so their offer. So it looks like right now, Wynn says he's stopping anything. You have the Indians taking advantage of it. The Indians are located further down the Cape, you know, down toward the Cape, and they want to come on big now that they've been all approved because they're hoping to open by 2000 in a year, 2016, 2017, thinking that Wynn could be delayed as many as 2 years.
I don't know why they don't do what the Indians did here in the West, which was basically throw up a tent.
Weather. Okay. Weather. And,
that's a good answer.
I don't know. I mean, Sandia in New Mexico was a tent. I mean, they get snow in Albuquerque, right?
You haven't seen snow in Boston, have you? Okay. They had snow last week in Boston. Okay.
I don't know. With the amount of money you'll make when you open a casino in Massachusetts, you're going to afford
That's a different story because the figures out of Plainridge, which is the slot parlor. Now, I haven't been there. Somebody who does live there, who visits Las Vegas a lot, says it's she called it a glorified Dottie's, but so I mean it's not that big, and they are only a half hour away from a very nice casino in Rhode Island that has done major expansion. So, and you know, state lines are state lines. So, but they are so that's so it's not so they're not booming there. So now Connecticut has. It looks like it's getting less and less every day. There'll be a third casino in Connecticut. I think they're finally deciding that's a bad idea. So,
I like Dottie's. Maybe I should go to Plainridge.
You won't like the games there.
The couple of local casinos reportedly up for sales, the Palms. Alliante.
I didn't see a price on that, though.
No, the prices aren't in the – everything's negotiable, I suspect. Alliante is way up in the northern part of the valley. And I actually tried to talk to them when they opened. They were having these daily come in and swipe and see what you get as a multiplier in play, which is a program that makes sense if you're in the middle of a big population base. But if you are miles and miles and miles away from everybody, which is basically they were,
yeah,
then you want to let people know what they're getting before they have to drive a long way, because they're going to have to pass a number of other casinos to get there. So it's an attractive property, but not very busy. Think they're going to be sold? Is this a good time to sell? Anybody?
Well, I mean, the economy in Vegas, everyone you listen to, I just heard Jim Murin talking about the opening of the arena and all of that, and he was citing numbers about Vegas that were terrific. Room rates, you know, for years, for 3 years, 3.5 years, the number one value in the Las Vegas Advisor was room rates. And they finally got back to a point where they're high enough that we took them off the top 10 list. So room rates are going up. There's not a lot of new inventory coming onto the market. Murin said absolutely zero. I saw another report that said 4,000 rooms coming onto the market in 2016.
It's not very many.
No, not very many when you're talking about 180-some thousand altogether. So, you know, demand is going up theoretically, and now is a good time to do it. But I think what they do is they put it out there, and they see what will happen. You know, if they get crazy money, they'll do it. I mean, are we going to see the Palms or Alliante sold in the next month and a half? I don't think we're going to see that, no.
I'd like to see the Palms sold. Just
you would like to find a new sponsor.
Oh, no, yeah, actually, now that you bring that up.
the Palms are...
Let me say, I'd like to see a change in management.
Well, I don't know. With the Palms went when...
Really?
When George had it,
I thought they've held the line pretty well to the Maloof style, to be honest with you. But go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Maloofs actually ran the profitable casino. They just opened up a big Palms Place condo hotel thing at the right when the market was taking a dump, and so that
they were trying to tap the ceiling to heaven, you know.
Yeah, well the. So that was leveraged enough that they were forced out. But if it gets sold, I have no evidence that it's going to happen. I'd like to see the Maloofs get it back. I have zero evidence that that's even under discussion.
I think when you're talking about the Palms, I mean, I spend a lot of time there. And
as do I.
Yeah, I know you do. I do it for different reasons, though. You know, you go in, you do your business. I go in and I do lots of different things in there. And
you make it sound like Bob goes there to use the bathroom.
I've used the bathroom.
He does the business he does. Let's just put it that way. But I mean, after the Maloofs, when the Maloofs left, I thought it went through a period that it was going in the opposite direction from really what they had done to make that such a popular place. And then this latest group that came in, they've brought back a lot of things, and a lot of that spirit is back there. I've talked to a lot of employees who love this current management group, who say good. It gets better and better there.
I certainly enjoyed the current one better than the one when it was Joe Magliardi, whatever,
and
Joe Mag.
Or Pusateri, I think it was, or something.
Yeah, Pusateri, and good. So this is the current group is
one thing I will say.
Yes.
I haven't checked out the games,
uh-huh.
But if somebody hasn't been to Aliante, okay, it's worth the trip. I mean, especially if you live toward the northern part of town. But it's
on
a
the northern
very nice,
end.
Pretty property.
It is, but there are two dozen really nice properties in Greater Vegas.
And I agree with you. I mean, but if you haven't checked it out and you live near it, it's something you should visit.
Aliante is like a little, like a, just a slightly scaled down Red Rock or Green Valley Ranch. They tried to build it in the same sort of style without being quite that fancy. It is a really nice place.
Or like M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Well, M has a similar geographic. It's in the corner of the valley, although a different corner.
Mm-hmm.
They're both on, the M is on a freeway of the more populous freeway. Going south into California is a lot busier traffic-wise than going the other direction into northern Nevada or Utah.
I-15 east or whatever, or I-215 east or whatever.
And it still isn't all done yet. You still have to, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a struggle.
We got a few more questions to talk about. First, take a break for commercials. We're talking with top billed Jeffrey Compton and lesser billed Anthony Curtis. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. Big promotion this month is called the $600,000 March Money Madness. At all times, there's a casino-wide progressive with a value that grows from a reset of $10,000 to whenever it's hit, which must be by $25,000. One lucky player gets the prize, and everyone else with a player's card inserted when it goes off gets $25 in free play. As soon as the jackpot is hit, another progressive begins at $10,000. This will continue until 3 a.m. April Fool's Day, when the current progressive will continue until it's hit, and then they're done. An additional minor progressive is always running between $1,000 and $2,500. This progressive is likely to go off three times a day. Tomorrow, the free video poker class will be Bonus Deuces Wild. This game is a cross between Deuces Wild and Bonus Poker. In Bonus Poker, the extra pays are on four of a kinds, especially four aces. In Bonus Deuces, it's on five of a kinds, especially five aces. But you pay for it in Bonus Deuces when straights only give you single money instead of double money that most Deuces Wild game gives you. Classes are held in the Grandview Lounge beginning at noon. Everyone's welcome. At the Palms, from now until the end of April, they have drawings every Friday and Saturday night at 7:15. Must be present to win. Five winners share a total of $5,000. Plus, each of the five get a chance to win $1 million in the $1 million match game. That's $1 million potentially given away every weekend, although it is 16,000 to 1 that you're going to get it. PFP, play for prizes, until April 1st, you get free play. Cards, these at a rate of 0.2 up to $190 per day. You keep your points. There's one remaining multiplier day, Wednesday, March 30th. Video poker receive a maximum of 2x and a minimum of 2x and a maximum bonus of 40,000 points. And the multiplier days, you earn your normal PFP play for prizes. That is, if you play 40,000 points, you'll receive the normal $80 in free play on PFP, and you get an additional 40,000 points worth $100 in free play because it's double point day. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the games. The game of the week is Split Card Poker. This is a 10-coin-per-line game where periodically a card splits, either on the deal or on the draw. If the nine of clubs is your split card, one-third of the time it becomes the nine of clubs and the ten of clubs, both cards there. One-third of the time it's the nine of clubs, eight of clubs. And one-third of the time it's there come two separate nine of clubs. This gives you flushes a lot more frequently. Five of a kind is the big happening. You get actually royal flushes a lot more. If you get a king of hearts to start with, it becomes a king queen or an ace king. And when you have four more cards to draw, it's a lot easier to get three out of four good ones than it is to get four out of four. I played it at videopoker.com. It looks kind of interesting, but until software comes out that's available for me to figure out how to play it accurately, I'm going to stay away from it. All right. We are next week, we are talking to Dink. Who is Dink, Richard?
Dink is a big sports bettor and horses, too, I guess. He likes them both. Quite a character. So looking forward to it.
He was a main character in the book and movie Lay the Favorite.
Played by Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Yeah, although all pictures I've seen interviews with Dink and that they don't look like twins to me.
I like Dink's enthusiasm when he's on the radio. I listen to every word he says, but he's just like, he goes slow.
Sometimes. So we should give him some Adderall, maybe.
That's his way. And it's fun to listen to.
But he's good. He is good to listen to. Good. Now, Florida Gaming, they've had agreements with the Seminole tribe that we're trying to get the agreement to the governor and then the legislature and blah, blah, blah. What's happening on this? Jeffrey, what's up today?
Not a whole hell of a lot. The legislature adjourned without moving on the governor's plan because of pressure from the northern counties, which really do not get any value out of anything. And so they're right now sitting in limbo, waiting to see what happens next. What I guess will happen will be sort of some sort of temporary agreement. We'll wait till the next legislature.
All right.
But they're allowed to keep dealing.
They're allowed to keep dealing. Yeah, they won't. Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on in Florida in that regard, but I know two guys who have been there in management positions who tell me that those casinos are like nothing you've ever seen in terms of busy.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Nothing like there.
Huge action. Yep. Huge action. Yeah.
Back to Las Vegas. The police department, we call it Metro, they're asked the county to ban backpacks and strollers from big events on the Strip. Is this inevitable?
After this morning, yes.
This morning are you talking about in Europe or are we talking about something here?
Yes. A few more incidences like that and you're going to have it. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but you will see, you know, particularly backpacks. I don't know about strollers. But, I mean, they'll have to, you know, I realize strollers are no longer the little operations. They're, you know, the mini buses these days. But
Go to wheelchairs?
Wheelchairs.
This is just at events, right? This is not like you can't wear a backpack on the Strip. That's not going to happen.
Right, just events.
Yeah, events.
Big events, like New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yeah, you know, if they're going to have the fun run, if something like that, yeah, I could see that happening for sure. You know, this all goes back to the Boston Marathon, and that's how they planted the bombs, and then, you know, apparently something similar in Belgium, and yeah, I could see it happening.
Yeah.
All right. City Center Shops at Crystals is selling for $1.1 billion. That's more than Richard and me have together. That's a lot.
Sorry, things aren't working out.
Yeah. So are we. So that strikes me as a really high number. I was surprised when I read that. Is that any news, or should we just go on to something else?
Well, that's why the Palms and Eliante say they're on the market.
Yeah,
if people are playing that kind of
money. The amount of shopping on the Strip is a huge deal nowadays. And now I realize, has the one in front of Bally's taken off? Or is
it's doing better.
It's doing better?
Yeah, it's doing better.
You know, so as long as the economy stays halfway decent, shopping on the Strip is going to be a big deal. There are people who used to come, I know people who used to fly to New York for a shopping weekend who now come to Las Vegas, who feel the prices are better and the selection is good.
What's the story with that hotel that stalled next to the Golden Steer on Sahara? The Dragon or
yeah,
something?
The Lucky Dragon.
Lucky Dragon, yeah.
Yeah, the story on that is their funding dried up. And that was supposed to be a done deal. That was going to be the next resort.
It's almost finished.
Yeah, and they got to that level, and their funding dried up. And
wasn't some of it coming from the city?
Well, they tried to get some sort of a variance or a designation from the city that would allow them to do something. I mean, it was a complicated move they tried to make. It was
and all the other owners screamed about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and they weren't going to let that go through.
Because they never got that deal.
But as I've heard right now, it is stalled. I haven't heard of anything going up. Yep, here we go again. And you're right, very close. I mean, think of Fountain Blue. You know how close Fountain Blue was. You know, similar situation. Hopefully it doesn't end that
way.
Yeah. All right, Daily Fantasy Sports. Currently, in the last couple days, FanDuel and DraftKings are shutting down in New York until that court case finally...
No, until it goes to the legislature approves it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is that going to happen?
It could. You read some days yes and some days no. The big interesting factor they've run into is they cannot accept approvals from Nevada or New Jersey. They had a big conference here on it, and both of the CEOs showed up. And the problem is, Nevada is willing to do it, but it has to be done through the gaming commission. Well, that admits that what they're involved with is gambling. So that would keep them out of a bunch of other states, even though they got Nevada. The same with New Jersey. It was New Jersey or one of the states. They had to be approved as a gambling operation, and they are not willing to do that.
Reading between the lines on that at the Nevada hearings, I think that both companies just told Nevada and New Jersey, we don't need you and we don't care. You're not important to us. Other states are much more important, New York being paramount. It's number one, you know, bigger than California. I think it's going to get legalized. I think it's going to pass there.
Hmm. Well, we thank you, Jeffrey. We thank you, Anthony. We welcome our listeners' questions. You can send them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or you can tweet them at me at RWM21. You can get the show delivered to you automatically every week by signing up for that at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or my site, richardmunchkin.com. To find an archive of all the old shows, you can find that at bobdancer.com.
All right. Thank you, Top Bill Jeffrey. Thank you, Anthony Curtis.
Thanks.
Thank you, Munchkin. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
Views and opinions expressed on this program were those of the hosts and guests and did not necessarily reflect those of Vegas All Net Radio, its affiliates, or its parent company.